A Divine Comedy, A Good Omens Multivoice Podfic, written by Wei Warder and read by
Sky Asimaru
and Trump. Chapter 12, A Tale Told by an Idiot. Summary: Aziraphale goes down for a drink in the lobby with Miss Tracy. There, he encounters his first ever fan. A voice screamed in Aziraphale's head as soon as the hotel door clicked shut behind him.
What are you doing, you great idiot?
Aziraphale paused against the door and breathed, giving himself a minute to concord an answer of which he could feel proud, which he could believe.
I am setting boundaries for myself. You're a bother! You're ridiculous! He's going to leave you!
And that was always a possibility, Aziraphale had to admit. But the reality was much simpler. That he loved Anthony J. Crowley. That Anthony J. Crowley had hurt his feelings rather deeply. And that he needed some time and some alcohol before he could continue this particular conversation.
We can't give up now,
he told himself stubbornly. Because this wasn't giving up. Not on himself, not on Crowley. Not on the promise of the two of them together. Aziraphale breathed and pulled away from the door. When he reached the hotel lobby, it was very nearly empty, signaling to Aziraphale how much later in the evening it was than he'd realized. He sighed, suddenly very tired, and made his way in the direction of the lobby bar.
Oh, why so glum, dear?
Tracy cooed at him, sympathetically, already reaching for a rather gigantic bottle of booze.
I heard your show tonight was wonderful.
Well, it was,
Aziraphale answered, honestly, brightening a tad at the memory.
It was wonderful.
So, what is it then?
Tracy asked as she poured. Aziraphale groaned as the situation really landed on him, resting his head in his hands.
Oh.
Tracy clucked her tongue as she passed him a full glass.
Oh, was wondering where that fancy red head of yours was?
She nodded, knowingly, glittering fingers wrapped around her own glass. Aziraphale whimpered pitifully in response. Look, it was his comedy festival debut, and he'd sulk if he wanted to.
Men!
Tracy sighed, lifting her glass in a toast.
Men!
Aziraphale agreed, clinking glasses with her and drinking deeply. Several more glasses of hooch and a palm reading later, Aziraphale wobbled precariously on his bar stool. He and Tracy were running out of things to toast.
To your triumphant debut!
To your marvelous inn!
Finally, nearly out of anything more specific,
to love!
Aziraphale cried, liquor sloshing out onto the bar.
To love! You know, dear, I was in love once.
Were you?
Oh, he could be awful sometimes. Always calling me names, that one was.
How dare he?
He doesn't mean any of it, I don't think.
Tracy was grinning now, something soft in her eyes.
That's hardly an excuse for name-calling, Miss Tracy. Why ever would you put up with him?
Oh, the same reasons you put up with that tall, cranky one of yours, I expect. Sometimes it's just enough to know how someone takes their tea, really. Even when they're being a bit of a bastard.
Azirafield smiled himself at the idea, remembering how his procurement of tea for Crowley just a night ago. Something black and spicy. He sipped at his umpteenth drink of the night, fondness and forgiveness blooming in his heart. He didn't hear or notice the sound of the lobby doors opening. Azirafield suddenly became aware of a presence on his right. He felt better, more secure, so he made a bit of a show of huffing before letting Crowley know.
I'm not quite ready to talk to you yet.
I'm gonna have to disagree with that, sunshine.
The strange voice caught Aziraphale completely off guard, and, in his increasingly tipsy state, he very nearly fell from his seat.
Oh! Hello!
He blurted out, blushing at his lack of composure.
You're a hard man to track down. Did you know that, Aziraphale Fell?
Is what the set of straightest, whitest teeth Aziraphale had ever seen wanted to know.
I've been calling.
Oh, Will.
Relax.
The smile held up two hands and laughed warmly.
I'm just here as a fan.
Aziraphale finally allowed himself to take in the sight of the tall, handsome, suited man before him. Tidy brown hair, grey eyes that looked almost lavender in the hazy lobby lights, and again, that smile. It would have looked too big on another face, almost predatory, Aziraphale observed. But it appeared to fit this genial man just perfectly. The phrase, as a fan, suddenly caught up to Aziraphale, and he blushed all over again. From behind the bar, Tracy beamed.
A fan? Huh.
Aziraphale repeated, charmed despite his better wits.
Your biggest,
the man said, finally taking a seat at the chair beside Aziraphale. He extended a hand. Aziraphale took it somewhat timidly, and then nearly gasped at the strength and firmness behind the handshake which followed.
How about an autograph?
The man clapped his hands together once they were both free again. He reached over the bar for a cocktail napkin and removed a gleaming pen from his own pocket, passing both to Aziraphale. Aziraphale felt a little dizzy from the liquor and from the idea of having a fan. A sad, slightly bitter thing tugged at his heart as he wished Crowley were here to see this. To see him signing his very first autograph.
And to whom should I make this out?
Gabriel Horn.
Aziraphale's grip on the pen faltered, and he looked up sharply.
You're Gabriel Horn?
Thought you might recognize the name. I used to know your buddy Crowley back in the day.
Aziraphale thought of every awful thing Crowley had ever told him about Gabriel Horn. He couldn't bring himself to believe any of them could apply to this kind man before him.
Will, perhaps that was only more of Crowley being insecure,
whispered a snide, treacherous voice in his head that made him feel a little sick.
I caught your act tonight, Aziraphale. Really excellent stuff.
Aziraphale just nodded, tongue too tied up with champagne and confusion and guilt.
Where do you want to go?
Over the course of his entire life, people took one glance at Aziraphale Fell and made assumptions as to where he belonged, or where he didn't. Not as a leading man or Shakespearean lover. Inside a little English classroom. Not on the stage of a comedy club. No one had ever asked him where he wanted to go.
I don't know.
Aziraphale fought to keep his voice light, fought not to betray too much about what the question had meant to him.
You should start thinking about it, sunshine. The world's about to be at your feet.
Sunshine again. What was it about comedy folk and nicknames?
I'm afraid I don't know what you mean.
What do you want, Aziraphale? Do you want to tour the world? Do you want to be in movies and make millions? Want a sitcom named after you?
Aziraphale finally felt brave enough to laugh a little at the hyperbole before him.
With all due respect, Mr. Horn, Gabriel, I've only done one set at one comedy festival. Isn't it a bit early to be talking about fame and fortune? Never too early with potential like yours.
Before Aziraphale could answer, Gabriel was on his feet again.
Think about it, Aziraphale. You'll love it out in Hollywood. It's like heaven out there.
Heaven would be wherever I belong.
Aziraphale thought to himself with a touch of inebriated melancholy. Gabriel slid his card across the bar to Aziraphale, flashed his dazzling smile at Tracy, and vanished nearly into thin air. The cozy little lobby felt transformed in his absence, colder somehow. Aziraphale had to work to keep his teeth from clacking together. Tracy leaned forward on the bar, resting on her elbows, and Aziraphale wished he was back home, chatting with Anathema at the Jasmine Cottage.
Oh, I don't know about that one, love.
I don't either.
Where do you want to go? What do you want?
Aziraphale winced over his excitement at being asked such questions. He felt as though he was betraying Crowley. He ran his fingers over the finely embossed business card. His heart swelled briefly as he allowed himself the fantasy of standing on a beautiful stage in some wonderful place, performing to a packed-to-the-rafters house.
You should go,
whispered the phantom, miserable Crowley, in his brain. Aziraphale thought of love, and of dreams, and of belonging, and of laughter, and of impossible apparent hair, and he felt entirely overwhelmed.
Oh,
he whispered under his breath, panic beginning to overtake him.
Fuck!
Aziraphale tucked the card into his coat pocket and slid out of his chair, surprised when he didn't wobble at all. Nothing like an exciting, alarming conversation with a Hollywood comedy agent to sober you up, he supposed.
Go easy on him, love.
Tracy nodded her head at the staircase as she collected Aziraphale's glasses.
I will. Thank you for tonight, Miss Tracy.
Good night, Mr. Fell.
Good night.
Aziraphale slipped into a room which was dark, but for one side table lamp. In the dimness, he could just make out the lump of Crowley's light frame under the bed covers, curled up into a ball. Aziraphale made his way carefully to the side of the bed and sat down gently. He looked down at Crowley, and his heart flipped over in his chest. Even in slumber, Crowley looked a little wrecked over the earlier conversation. His brow was furrowed, his jaw was clenched, his eyes were shut too tightly. Xerophil placed a hand softly upon one of Crowley's cheeks.
Xerophil,
Crowley muttered, eyes softening just a touch.
Relax, darling.
Can't.
Why ever not?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I know, love. I'm sorry too.
Didn't do anything, angel.
Xerophil thought ruefully of his conversation with Gabriel Horn.
Stay right there, Crowley. I'll be right back.
In the lamplight, he smoothed a hand over Crowley's brow, trying to ease the worry lines away. Crowley let out a purposeful exhale of breath, and Xerophil watched with a full heart as his shoulders dropped away from his ears. Xerophil went into the bathroom to ready himself for sleep. He looked into his own eyes in the mirror.
Where do you want to go? What do you want?
Xerophil took in the sight of the hotel bathroom counter, of his own side, nearly completely covered in items, but neat and organized. At Crowley's side, sparser, but more haphazard. Xerophil imagined sharing all future counters with Crowley and had to close his eyes at the avalanche of longing that threatened to overtake him. Xerophil didn't know where exactly he wanted to go, but he knew he wanted to go there with Crowley. And he didn't know exactly what he wanted, only that he wanted to share it all with Crowley. Gabriel Horn's business card felt like a boulder in his pocket.
Tomorrow,
Xerophil thought, facing himself.
We'll talk about everything tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. To be continued in chapter 13.